Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Dog Show Drive with Wayne and Will. I'm Wayne Cavanaugh.
And I'm Will.
You are. Maybe we should just do that. I'm Wayne, yeah. And I'm Will.
And I'm Will.
Save us a couple syllables. Anyway, this week, we're going to talk about some emails that we've been promising to read back and some good feedback and information. Thank you for your emails. Keep them coming. Also, we're going to talk about the AKC Parent Club approved mentor process and where that's wonderful and where maybe it has some holes. We're also going to talk about an announcement by the Finnish Cavalier King Charles Spaniel Club, which you might find interesting or controversial. All that and more on the Dog Show Drive.
I'm born to run down rocky cliffs. Give me grace. Shattered glass and black holes can't hold me back from where I need to go.
Yellow hills. Well, good morning, young William, and how the heck are you, buddy?
I'm good, Wayne. It's good to see you.
It's good to see you. I'm glad no one else can see me.
You never know.
My hair.
The YouTube premiere.
My hair is sticking. So I look like Don King. My
hair is sticking. I told you. Mine looks like it's been drawn on with a magic marker. I wish you had your Don King hair.
I slept in this t-shirt, so it's all baggy collared like that commercial where the guy goes to dinner and his shirt's all stretched out. Yeah, that's me.
Well, I have my pristine maple leaf.
I've got one of them.
They win every time I wear it, so I just leave it on.
What you can't see, ladies and gentlemen, is Will's sleeve at the end of the sweatshirt has ripped away from the actual sleeve. So you get that hole between the end of the arm and the sleeve. I have several of those.
But see, you can make them work as gloves.
Exactly what I do. I was just gonna say that. That's beautiful. You did an excellent job there. Works like a charm. Anyway, how's the weather up there, Will?
Oh, Wayner. It was getting so nice. I went and turned down all the thermostats, and this morning it's freezing and there's snow on my deck.
On your what, Will?
On my patio.
Oh, I see. I just misheard. A little cold. My ears are a little clogged up.
Yeah.
Same happened here. We had 70s, and then last night it was so cold I couldn't stand. I had like three jackets on, as if I'd never been to Michigan before. It was so cold.
Well, it's because you start getting used to it.
Yeah.
Your body starts getting used to it, and I'm starting to have allergies. So it's allergy season here. Yep. The pollen's coming. The mold is coming up through the grass now.
Yep.
I turned the fire on. I'm still not warm. I'm freezing.
Yeah. Chilled to the bone.
I was all set to start doing my. I have to re-shock my hot tub on the deck because I don't leave it going all winter long because it's up here to keep it going all winter long. It's going to cost
$500 a month.
So I was going to clean it out, but now it's got snow on it. I'm not going out to do it.
We had a hot tub at the old place. Well, you remember, which was very much outdoors in the woods. And one day I looked at the electric bill. I'm like, what's $700 to keep the hot tub on in the winter?
It's crazy. It's crazy. It's great. I try to keep it. I'll keep it going till December so I can have one of those cold nights to go out there and get in the hot tub. But after that, you know, common sense takes over and you got to shut her down.
Yeah. And then you got shrinkage and no one wants to see that.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right. We have a lot to talk about today. I would like to start with an announcement by the Finnish. Now, some people say it's the Finnish Kennel Club. That's not true. It's the Finnish Cavalier King Charles Spaniel Club. They unanimously passed a resolution, and they are starting a crossbreeding program. And they're doing this because in their statement, not mine, the mitral valve disease. It's the heart thing. And Sirenia-Myelia, which I've lived through with a breed, and it's the most awful thing in the world. It's where the brain has nowhere to grow, and it starts to just expand at a great rate, and it can't fit in the cranium, and they just scratch themselves. It's just horrible. And then there's a Chiari, which is, I'm not certain what Chiari malformation is, but that's their third disorder that they're working across. Now, the responses have been interesting, depending on where you live in the world. Mm-hmm. Many Americans have said, you know, their mutts can't have that. It's not going to work. You know, we're, this, now we're going to start showing mutts. Well, I don't know. What do you think there, Will?
Well, I remember a few years back, I was judging at your show, and I gave this beautiful Dalmatian bitch the group.
Yep.
Beautiful. She was beautiful. I was I was taken with her. She was so beautiful. Later on, you told me that she was.
Yeah. Low uric acid cross.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, with that said, low uric acid is a simple recessive, which is easier to fix with a cross than these three multigenetic issues. But that's not saying it hasn't been done before. If you want to call the products of these dogs, and by the way, I'm sure they're going to DNA them, set them aside, have breed clubs, had the breed club itself evaluate them. They're not going to just throw them back in the gene pool.
Oh, exactly.
And it's not the first time this has been done successfully. Irish red and whites, if they would be considered mutts, I guess, to the purists, because that's a recreated breed. There were Irish red and white setters. I'm not saying there weren't, but there weren't enough of them. And the Irish Kennel Club did the same thing while allowing other setters to be crossed in. But again, they DNA'd them, they monitored them. And the clubs, I believe the Irish Kennel Club itself, had representatives, but they all went and graded the litters. And after three or four generations, decided which ones could stay and which ones couldn't. Mm-hmm. It refreshed the gene pool, and we have a pretty vibrant breed today. That was in the 70s. That wasn't in the, you know, in the dark ages. And think about some of these new breeds we have today. How long ago do you have to be established to not be considered a mutt? I don't think there's such thing as a purebred dog in the pure sense, right? I mean, we didn't get, you know, God didn't come down and go, four setters, here you go. Here you go, guys. You got four of them. You know, there was all kinds of crossbreeding done. Now, that's how you establish a breed. I get that. But fix them. Irish Wolfhounds, you know, there's no doubt what he had to cross in to fix that breed, because there was only a few left. You know, Great Danes, Scottish Deerhounds, and others that people talk about. A lot of it's documented in De Quigg's, or I don't know how you say his name, Alfred somebody, in his book. This is a long time ago, but it was a recreation. And there's more breeds, far more breeds than we think of. I don't know. It's polygenetic, what they're trying to work on. I really, if you can create, well, Malcolm Willis. Now, Malcolm was one of the, will always be regarded as one of the greatest dog geneticists there ever was. Controversial, maybe, but Malcolm was the man, and he was at the Kennel Club. The Kennel Club in England. And when they announced that they were going to crop boxers' tails, Malcolm said, no problem, I'll cross to corgis. Now, most people wouldn't have selected corgis unless you're Malcolm, because we know that that dwarf gene that gets those legs short is not a big thing to cure, right? He fixed that. The colors were right. He fixed the coat. That's not difficult, short, long. And he got them to look exactly like boxers in three generations, with naturally docked tails, as corgis have. I'm not saying, and by the way, this is in the hands of one of the most brilliant, foremost canine geneticists we've ever seen, right? I'm not saying at all it should be willy-nilly, and it needs to be monitored, and it needs to be DNA'd so we exactly know who did what and what we're getting from it. If it doesn't work, by the way, you've still got the rest of the breed. You know, I think people misunderstand that they're all going to do it. It's never like that.
Right.
Pick a few dogs and you go from there. They don't want to use Brockie's Valak dogs. That's upset some people because you've got your obvious things to kind of cross. I don't think that they're saying, yes, there's diseases in those Brockie breeds, and there probably are. I think what they're saying is they want to keep it looking like an English toy, like a Cavalier. You know, they want a muzzle on it. They don't want a Brock breed for that particular breed. So there's just a lot to it. But this isn't something that the Finnish Kennel Club put on them. This is the Cavalier King Charles Club of Finland who unanimously voted to go forward this. I applaud them for the try.
I think it's very responsible, too. And they're trying to correct things. So.
And I think we it's more of a knee-jerk reaction, I think, from... And I don't want to say amateur purists, but people who haven't been around too long, maybe, or maybe it's people that have a good reason that may be better scientists than I. But I don't see what's wrong with the try. You know, I don't.
After what I saw at your show, and you told me that she was a result of that process, she was beautiful. I would never question what breed she was. That's for sure.
Of course not. And obviously those dogs breed exactly true. Now, I believe that the story with that is the American Kennel Club authorized that cross. New board got elected and said, no, we can't do that. So the cross already happened, but they wouldn't register them after a while. Now, finally, I believe they do register them, but it's been many generations and we've seen how true they breed. So maybe you say, okay, now they look like Cavaliers. They breed like Cavaliers. They are Cavaliers, but 10 generations from now, we'll finally register them. Whatever you do, there's many ways to try it. I guess what I'm saying is I'm not against the experiment because there's nothing lost. It's not making mutts out of your breed. You
How
don't
many
have to breed.
Was that Dalmatian bitch?
Oh, I think it was 2-3. It looked just. Oh, she was probably at least 7 or 8 at that point.
Yeah. Okay.
And second and third generations. But that's a simple recessive. It's a bit different. Okay. And these are polygenic diseases, so it's going to take longer. And there'll be foibles along the way. They're just trying to reduce the occurrence, I believe. So, hats off for the try. I'm not, you know, I completely understand everyone who's against it because only if they're saying because it's polygenic, it's too hard to do. I get those people. I get, but the ones that are saying you're making mutts, I'm sorry. Irish red and white setters are mutts. Irish wolfhounds are mutts. I don't know. Look at some of these new breeds that the AKC is registered. How long ago were those crosses done? And really, when they're rare, do we find them in another country? Who knows what went on back then? And as you know, Will, you go to a terrier kennel. I'm not sure if it's still true. You go to a terrier kennel in the motherland, you know, a fox terrier kennel and a Welsh terrier kennel, you're going to find one of the others in the kennel.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Absolutely.
All started with the black and tan terrier, basically.
Exactly. But if you need a little more neck on your Welsh for some reason, or you need a little more substance on your wire, or whatever it might be, those things are done, but they're done behind closed doors. I'd much rather it happen when it's out there, monitored, and DNA'd, mm-hmm. and then approved down the road and fit back into the pedigrees if you want that to happen, if it works. I had a separate registry at the UKC called the Performance and Health Registry, and it was intended because the coonhound guys, the hunter guys, the night hunt guys, were not opposed to throwing a little black and a little walker on their black and tans against them. They cared about hunting dogs. And I thought, okay, I get that. But if you're going to be in our registry, you're going to need to DNA them and get it right. And it was called health and performance for a reason. If it was only approved if it improved the health of a breed or the performance of a breed. I don't know. If you breed a field trial English setter to a show setter, is that a crossing breeds? They have no relatives. Not in the last 50-100 years, they don't.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the American field. We have very good English setters that hunt and do very well. I'm talking about the racier, smaller 12 o'clock tail, far different English setter.
The Laverack.
That's not true. It's not just English. Pardon me?
The Laverack.
The Laverack, yeah. And by the way, are some of those infused with pointer blood? I would not be surprised.
You look at the outline sometimes.
Yep. And they're fast. You can breed those. They're AKC registered English setters. So you can technically and legally breed one of those to an English setter best in show winner and register those puppies as English setters. They'll be all over the map. Is that a mutt?
Nope.
I don't think so.
Not on paper, you know?
And you could probably in a couple of generations get something in the middle. Yeah, this is a big announcement, I think. A, because the breed club wanted it. And B, because it's a polygenic issue. These are complex issues that are going to take more time. So I'm looking to see how they do it. I wish them the best. If we can make healthier dogs that look like Cavaliers.
Oh, exactly. Because I forget the name of the brain disease, but it's
syringe myelia. It's brutal.
It's horrible. It's horrible. Yeah.
And, you know, mitral valve disease too, heart disease. And it's not unusual for that to be in some lines. And by the way, we're not saying that all Cavaliers are a wreck.
No,
a mess.
Of course not.
We're saying that if there's areas for improvement, there may be an option for that. All right, that's all I have to say about that. That'll keep people in a tailspin for about 2 years. Whenever you touch the, you know,
I'll be fine with it. Don't worry.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and by the way, I'm judging the Silken Windhound National this June. We've talked about that breed.
Yeah.
I don't know. They breed extremely true. They're beautiful. They're healthy. Their temperaments are extraordinary. Yeah, we don't want those in, you know, because there was crosses 50 years ago or 40 years ago, whatever it was.
Yeah,
but we'll take in, and I'm not going to mention breeds by name, but there's some right now in some groups that I'm going, yeah, right. That's exactly what they look like.
I know. There's some of the, because up here, we don't have the same breeds as you in some cases. And there's some that I just didn't recognize. I had to ask somebody.
And how we don't know what crosses went on 2 years ago, never mind 40. Yeah. So anyway. Enough about that. Hey, you know what? And this is, I don't know how I'm going to do this because I just thought of it. I actually do keep notes. And it says, like right now, it says, George Gopin, sense of structure. That's about writing. I don't know how it got on this page. It's got nothing to do with dogs. There's notes to pick up the frame from the framers. So the list is not necessarily a good list, Will. You don't want to do any of those things.
But it's a list. I have the same.
It's a list.
I have movies. I have triangles for dogs. and then I'll look at the list and go, what does that even mean?
or that word. How did I write that? What is that supposed to be?
What am I trying to remind myself of?
We did promise we'd get to some emails, and I want to go back if I can find them. And it's going to be off the cuff. I'm going to read them as they are. So I'll slow down if they're cursing at us. And they come from, forwarded by our fearless leader, Mr. Ernie Perry.
Dr. Ernie Perry.
Oh, yeah. Jesus.
Sorry. The doc.
Very sorry. Okay. Hope you're feeling better. Thank you. Appreciate that. I get these from time to time. It's an agent pimping an author that we should have on our podcast.
I saw that.
Now, and I'm sure they're wonderful. These people are top breeders of a breed. I won't mention them. Oh, wow. The guy's super qualified. And it would be fun to talk to them, but quite frankly, I just don't know if it's our format, you know?
Well, and also our hours are weird.
Our hours are very weird. But maybe that's something you can work into your interviews or we can discuss and write about it for me or something. I don't know. This is a dandy. Hi, guys. I just listened to episode 44. They are numbered, you know? You don't know that, Will.
I don't know that.
You have no idea. Do you?
I still think we just talk on the phone.
We do. I just listened to episode 44 of your podcast, and you talked about handlers going behind the judge to start their down and back. Mm-hmm. I show a breed and was told that going behind the judge is a great way to make sure my dog is moving correctly as soon as I get on the mat. How do you recommend I start my down and back? I've only been handling for a few years, and I'm always looking for tips to improve my handling. Thanks, love the podcast. This is a really good email, and thank you. It says, Corey, thanks, Corey. I see your point. You know, people do teach that. There's a reason they teach it, is because as judges, your dog's moving perfectly immediately, and that's not what we want to see. That's what you want us to see. But we want to see the first few steps going away slowly to see how that transition works. So when you're back there getting up to speed, you're camouflaging well. You're doing a fine thing, but it concerns me and some of us old timers because we do like to see the dog's first steps slowly going away from you. I see the dilemma, though. What do you think, Will?
I agree, and it is a dilemma. It depends what you want your judge to see. But I'll never forget. I'm going to go back to Janie, and Janie, when I was showing dogs to her, she always wanted me those first couple of steps. Mm-hmm. She wanted you to build your speed up. She wanted to see that, especially in boxers. You know, she said, yeah, you never want to see a boxer go running. She said, but I always want to see it start from stop to go so I can see the transition, how it starts using its back end.
So. Smooth too, as many breeds. And I think it's, you know, I guess it's up to the judge these days. I certainly advocate for people to start to ask handlers. And really, if you have your dog, and you would know more of this about me, Will, but if you have your dog collected, standing there, and you know how to make that little turn to take off, I think you can do it to keep your dog's movement. I think you can work on that.
I agree. Like, and I try to teach my class because I'm a stickler about just getting right in front of the judge and going. And they'll say, what about a dog that paces? Well, there's many things you can do on that start to get them off the pace. There's that little body shift. There's how you start off a little quicker than slow yourself down. It's all different little tricks that you have to try on individual dogs because, let's face it, some dogs are really good at it, you know, and then they pace and don't even feel it. And I have one student in my class, and she works diligently trying to figure it out. We got it. I hope we got it last week. I'm actually the classes today, so I'll find out if she still has it. But she brings a dog in front of me. She actually brings his head up and then drops his head and goes, and he tends to break his pace.
Each dog has its own little thing. But yeah, there are ways to do it, Corey. And thank you very much for emailing. It's a really good question because it gets us to talk about the differences. So
like Corey was talking about, so it's moving properly right in front of the judge. I think that depends on your judge's background too. Like there's some judges that, let's face it, they're not Gene Forsythe. They don't care about that because they can't interpret that in their head maybe. And they need to see that boom, boom, boom action right from the start. So
it's, I don't know. I guess I'm just suggesting that more judges should call people on it. Plus it takes time.
I told you, I'm just going to the next one. If they're over there fixing their hair and doing their makeup, I'm just calling the next one.
I think it's a great idea. I talked to Bonnie about it, and Bonnie Threlfall, we're going to use last names, right? And she said she's having fun with it. Just when they come back and do the sideways thing, she lets them do it. And she goes, that's nice, but let me see its head. And they don't know what to do because they got to turn it completely around. And I haven't planned on that one yet, you know.
Yeah.
But it can be fun to watch the dance. A really nice email from the Petersons, Breezy Peterson. If you remember, Will, they wrote in to ask us what they should do because they live in an area where there's no hands.
Yes.
Right. And they took our advice. It says, we are pleased to report that we took your advice and it's yielded great results. We told them to go to shows and meet people who will help them. And that's exactly what they did. And I have such faith in the sport for that, right? They met a lovely older woman in their breed who, it's a long, beautiful email. And she even talked about, we can help show, we can help do this for you. Our teenagers can give you a hand. And it's a beautiful email about how to do these things and where to go. And it worked, you know, it really worked. And they're looking at other breeds too. They made friends in breeds that weren't theirs. And that's going to happen. And that gives you different perspectives on how to start, depending on coats and size and everything else. So he talks about getting handling tips from a borbol handler may not be the best way to prepare a Havanese, but we'll take what we can get. You know, it's really cool, right? And it says, maybe we'll seek out a friend in Bouvier's as a nod to young William. But
my finished his championship this weekend.
Did he really?
Handler went to Maryland and he won, I think, 3 of the 4 days, all majors. He's an American champion.
So. Wow. Well done. Cheap champion. House
dog Clark.
Cheap champion, right? Yeah. Only a couple entry fees and you're good. That's great, Will. That's what Goodwins can do. That's a real champion.
That was fun.
Yeah. So Breezy Peterson, the Petersons, thank you so much for your email. And I'm so glad it worked out for you. And really, I had faith in our sport that they would come back and take care of you. So
you see it happening. And you talk to people, older people, and you ask them how they started. And it's amazing who they met to start their real dog show career. You know.
Yep. this is a great email from Becky. We mentioned, we're talking about Bracco Italianos and how they move. And she watched them on video. And the next sentence is got an expletive in it, but it's profoundly, it's a good thing. We really enjoyed them. Well, they were fantastic. And they are going to their national to check out what's going on there. And she wanted to know, is it totally cliche that we as German Shepherd dog folks are bonkers for Broncos? I don't think it's bad that anybody's bonkers for Broncos. I love it. I just know that our handler would have a blast showing a great one. Thank you so much, Becky. This is great. Just so glad that we're able to get your interest into a new breed, and they are something else. So,
bonkers for Broncos. I like that. Bonkers
for Broncos. I love it. I love it. Thank you very much. The world's oldest junior. sincerely, the world's oldest junior. Describe myself, I'm sure. Oh, these are some long ones that have been well thought out, and I really appreciate it. One says, I agree, canine comedy and information. Well, there you go. The world's oldest junior, and the pleasure of listening.
That's hockey on the side.
Oh, yeah. It says, I enjoy every moment, including the hockey banter. it's wonderful. And they're talking about how to attract people to the sport. And it says, if AKC would pay attention to us old farts, you may have more coming into dog sport. I've already gone from one show dog to five and recently purchased a puppy bitch who potentially be my foundation bitch. I just wanted to share my 2 cents worth. Love your program. And I remember these people. They purchased their first show dog at the age of 63. They had dogs for 40 years and enjoyed performance events and juniors and all these things. But they found nothing to help those of us in later years discovering the dog, the joy of showing dogs. So their issue is, you know, how can the AKC get people like them in their 60s? And, you know, we work on getting the juniors into the sport, right? But we forget about the people who may be late to the sport. I hope it's the same thing from the Petersons, that if you come to shows and meet some folks, but how do you get people to the shows? It's a very good point. Yeah. Very good point. It's an audience that we don't think of when we're attracting people. We think of junior showmanship and getting them in that way. A bunch of other good stuff. A lot is we like you and we love those.
When they tell me to be my mother, they got to be other people.
Well, at least that, or she, this is a real nice one from a good friend, Ann Ramsbottom, who I've known forever. I'm sure you're inundated with fan mail, but I'm long overdue in sending my own. And it's just really nice. I've listened to every episode as I head down the road to dog shows. Not only do you keep me awake, alive, and free from boredom, but you also provide a voice for our sport and a wonderful description and discussion on topics we're all interested in. Maybe your mantra regarding too many shows will someday be heard. Yes. Yes. And I hope it is. I hope our mantra on too many shows is heard. You never know. These are kind things to say, and I don't want to sound like we're tooting our own horn, but It's great. And she loves our stories. And Wayne, your stories in the past with the fourth dice, I love. She got her first pointer from Janie. People think of her as Dobermans, but she did have pointers back in the day. That's really nice. And Anne's a journalist as well. So she enjoys, well, my columns. And but great stuff. And then she talks about some people that we should talk about in an interview, maybe. Stan Flower, Brenda Combs in Sicily, Robert Shaw. That's the great Crook Rise Corner Lady. All excellent ideas. So thank you very much, Anne. I hope all is going well.
And I did write those down. I read those and I wrote those down on the list. So I will try. And I've tried to call Stanley a couple of times, and Jane says he's not, he doesn't like doing interviews. So if you're listening, Stanley.
Pressure's on. I'm sure he's a podcast man. Yeah.
Probably, if not, Jane's probably listening. And Jane, people want to hear from Stanley.
That's right, darn it. You got a lot to say. And Ann, thanks. Hope all's well in Millsap, Texas. There's some real nice ones. And a lot of, as I said, just people that enjoy the show, and we always like to hear that.
Yeah, I got some really nice response to last week's interview with Bruce Schultz. It wasn't they were thrilled to hear from Bruce last week. Oh, so boy.
That one, I listened to it twice. Will,
did you?
That's the first time I've ever done that. Yeah. Well, first of all, I love the man to death. He's just a dear friend who I will always have a giant spot in my heart for two reasons. One, he's a hell of a good guy, and the other is he is the example. And he said something in the interview I'll never forget. He said that one of the reasons he had fun at the shows is because of his sportsmanship. And that sounds like a little sentence. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, if you have good sportsmanship, you're not going to get angry all the time. You're not going to go around blaming everybody and disparaging everybody's dogs. It's going to put you in a better mood. And also, he knows. Yeah, he knows. You lose, you move on, right? But
he was a great example for all of us to watch.
He still is, yeah.
Yeah. He's not showing as much now, but he sure is. Like I said to him, on the interview, we were talking about something, and I said, I've never ever seen you angry, Bruce.
Yeah.
So he's
watching. That was funny. And of course, when he answered that, he went, you know, he did that laugh, which I love. He was a great example in the ring, and he's a great example just in life for a lot of us who know him. I mean, it's a guy with a positive outlook. And if you want to be happy, if you want to be miserable and go to every show and complain about everything, oh, knock yourself out. Good. Why don't you go get some root canals while you're at it? I mean, you know, I hate it all so much. How's your judging thing going? You've got some stuff you got to do.
Well, I'm
getting a taste.
Right. I have my third assignment next week, actually. So that's be the third one for this permit, and then I can move on. So I've been collecting continuing education and doing kennel visits and mentoring and whatnot. And it's funny. One of the people I use for mentoring, she said, I feel really odd signing this because you taught me most of what I know, but it's the way it goes. No.
I feel you, buddy, because I've been through that, and it can be. Well, are you doing your AKC stuff now too?
No, that doesn't take effect till May 1st, I think. So I haven't looked at that yet. I told them I would contact the powers that be after May, and
yeah,
gonna go forward then. So
it's interesting. You know, there's a I don't want to get in trouble for this one because. It's going to be a tough one to tightrope. Each club has a list of approved mentors for the breed.
Right.
And these are people that meet the criteria. I think it's 12 years, somebody champions, whatever. And it's great. It's great. And you can reach out to them. But in certain breeds, there's going to be times you know more than them. And, you know, you hope you can get some back and forth and learn something. I think you can learn something from everybody.
Oh, there's no question you can.
Robert, there's a guy named Robert Fisher. You know, never heard of Bobby Fisher? he's not on any list of approved mentors that I know of, Will. Who are you going to call for Irish Terriers? I don't even know who's on that list for the club. I'll bet they're great. Well, I'll bet they're great.
Sure, they are.
But I'm Colin Fisher. And the reason is I can talk to him about dogs he showed 1,000 years ago from the 70s, 60s forward.
Yeah.
We can talk about things in a way that old friends do. Most important, having a common view of dogs we can actually, it's not like they send you a picture. What do you think about this dog? We know Rowdy Red. We know those dogs that Woody showed and everybody else showed. You know, there's so many good guys out there that showed these dogs, and I have no problem using them as a mentor. And I know they get turned down sometimes, and that's a shame because there's some people out there that I'm not saying the ones on the club mentor list aren't good. I'm saying there's ones that aren't on there that may be better for certain individuals, right, exactly, who have a relationship with them. So I hope that's understood correctly. I did, however, have a very disturbing incident happen to me, and it's my fault. I was first approved in 1999. I have a 4-digit judge's number. None of this is new to me. And a woman went select under me and didn't like it, and she stayed in the ring. My mistake was not calling the bench on hearing immediately, and I will forever regret that. She took the ribbon from me in a not positive touch and feel, and started her sentence by saying, her argument by saying, "I'm a AKC Parent Club approved mentor in this breed." And then she told me how horrible my winner's dog and winner's bitch were, and the dog that beat her was. These are her fellow breeders and exhibitors, by the way.
Right.
She knows these people. They're supposed to work together for the betterment of the breed. What did anybody get out of her berating and degrading those dogs? And by the way, the winner's dog and winner's bitch was winner's bitch dog and winner's bitch every day that weekend. By the way, oh, footnote.
She must have had a sore throat talking to all these judges afterwards.
Well, the problem was it wasn't only talking to the judges. It wasn't only talking to me. This individual uses that title to promote her own dog and to disparage others' dogs. I hope that's a really rare exception to the whole club-approved mentors thing. Because if people are using this to promote their own dogs, and an outright, I mean, I can see when you call them and they're using pictures of their own dogs or maybe tilting towards the ones they like, you can figure that out. But they're not disparaging other people's dogs. They're promoting their own. Okay, I don't love it, but I can see through it.
Right.
This behavior where you go around promoting your dog all weekend with the introduction, "I am a approved mentor."
Yep.
Boy, that's got to stop. And I made a heart. It caught me so off guard. First of all, I never have complaints ever. I just don't get them. I'm sure they go outside the ring and bitch about me. I'm not, you know, who wouldn't? That's true with every judge and every dog.
I wouldn't do that to you, Wayne. Right?
And they can complain about each other and all that good stuff. But ow. That's got to stop.
It does. It's abuse of, I guess, the power, really.
It's a privilege you get,
yeah,
from the club who puts faith and trust in you. And you turn around and abuse it like that? That's the opposite of being a breed mentor. That's the opposite. And by the way, of course, she couldn't see the faults on her own dog, but that's normal, right? We all think, everybody should have her passion to think she always has the best one. I appreciate that. I applaud her for that. She's also had some nice dogs, real nice dogs, and has proven herself over years, but it's the behavior attached to it that concerns me. And I hear it's not a person who's had a history of this until recently. And I wonder if that approved mentor thing doesn't give a badge that someone might necessarily have the personality. They may have the knowledge, but maybe not the personality or match. And that's all I'm going to say about that. But yeah, pick your mentors wisely and make sure you get the most out of them. By the way, I can talk to Fisher and learn about Irish Terriers, I don't have to put it down because I'm not going to get any points for it, probably. Well, it depends. But he might not be the best example. But doesn't mean I can't learn from him. You know, exactly. So you don't limit your learning to just the points you've got to collect. You can certainly talk to these other greats that might not be on the list. Whether you get a point for them or not, try. But if you don't, you know, make sure you get extra points. That way, if they throw out Bobby Fischer's knowledge, you still get a point, right? But
I see Fischer at ringside, and we'll be sitting there talking about labs, and I'll say, "What do you think of those two?" And he never goes and beats up one of them. He just gives me those good points and the bad points.
That's what mentors do.
He's always there. You know, he's always there.
That could be true in any breed, right?
Yeah.
If Fisher's watching poodles, I'm going to go watch poodles.
Well, I gave last time I saw him, I didn't give him shit, but I kind of gave him shit because he would have been one of our greatest judges. Oh. He would have been one of our greatest. I always loved watching him judge dogs, you know.
Who doesn't?
Yeah.
But going through the stuff you have to go through is just force. And Bruce said something good in the, well, he said a lot of things good in the interview, but he said, and I haven't thought of this, he goes, "They want me to fill out all these papers and do this work. Here's my form. I've given my life to this sport, and I've given my life to the AKC and to the people in it and the breeds in it. What else do I have to prove?"
True.
And what would happen, they're trying to be fair to everybody and they're fair to no one. There are going to be people who say, "Well, I'm not a handler. Why shouldn't I have a group?" Because you didn't go to 300 shows a year for 40 years. Ken's calling.
I spoke to Ken this week.
He probably heard me. I don't know. But yeah, here's another guy. You could talk any breed to. Any breed. But, you know, you just have to look at these guys and think, okay, I know. I've been in the business world most of my life, and I was vice president of AKC for a good number of years. Forms aren't alien to me at all, and I enjoy writing, but it's a pain in the ass. I've got stacks of papers all over this office. Now I can tell you that this application, these are breeds that in the real world I'd go, you know what? I know these breeds inside out. When I start applying for other breeds that I still know, I want 100 points in each one of those breeds because I've still got more to learn in my head about those breeds. But again, in fairness, you got to get the same number of points for every same number of breeds. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how you fix it. I do. You bring Len Brumby back and have him call people and just say you got the group.
And I think of that. I actually told the story again this week. I think I'm probably using it too much. The Bob Waters story in Canada.
Yeah, yeah.
When he first applied, they gave him Dobermans. And then somebody realized that we just gave Bob Waters just Dobermans. And mm-hmm. they gave him all breed. And he ended up being one of Canada's greatest judges of all time.
There's not many that I would give an all breed license to off the cuff. Certainly Fischer would be. I mean, geez, yeah. In a minute, right? And there's others. Not many, but there's certainly ones that I'd definitely give a couple groups to, yeah. Including Bruce. You don't need to sign anything. Here's the thing. And again, I understand it's about trying to be fair, and I wouldn't want to be in the AKC's shoes because I don't know how you do
it.
It's
a really difficult position.
It is.
It is. It's a very difficult position.
But if we know that there are judges that judge basically, I think of Bruce's sporting group to be first, right?
Yeah.
There are people who judge the sporting group who have gone through all the forms and all the points, went to all the seminars, got all the credits, filled out all the forms, and ended up eventually getting the group that couldn't hold a candle to Bruce as a judge. So what sense does it make that we make somebody like that go through? I don't know.
Well, it's a touchy subject. I use a sport analogy a lot. I think, okay, let's go to Wayne Gretzky. You know, he may or may not be the best player to ever play the game of hockey.
Yeah.
If he wanted to be the coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs, and Will Alexander wanted to be the coach of Maple Leafs.
But you had more CEU credits.
Right. That's not saying that Will Alexander couldn't eventually work his way up.
Yes, it is.
But Wayne Gretzky has proven himself in the sport that he is he should be given that chance to try.
Absolutely. Are there groups you would say I don't want yet? Of course, me
sure
too.
There are, you know, for sure there are.
And eventually you're going to, you know, I don't know, but there's plenty of groups.
I think I could get through the group. I sure. Definitely think I could.
Yep.
But the finer points of certain breeds, mm-hmm. I want to learn.
Yep.
Like I think my common dog knowledge would be able to get me through and I wouldn't make a fool of myself. But if I were to judge the national, especially, I'm sure I would miss some things that I shouldn't have missed.
That's going to happen any national specialty. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's diversity. And I think I could go in and not make a fool of myself in all breeds. And that does not mean I want to judge them because I don't think I'm qualified to in the finer points. But just, I mean, you and I have been exposed, shown, worked with, and been involved with particular dogs from probably almost every breed, at least the first 120, the next 80. Yeah. But I still, it doesn't mean I don't want to learn more about them, but it means I know enough about them to go in there and do as good as anybody else on a Wednesday in Topeka.
And it's amazing the knowledge you've got. I'm looking forward to you judging the pointer specialty, the national, because I'm going to sit back and you know how much I'm going to learn by watching you go through the classes. And that's how things, I used to have a client, both Alice and I shared her, Star White. I'm going to say her name, Salukis. Well, you know what? She taught me Salukis, and now I have a picture in my head. And every time a Saluki comes in the group ring beside me, I can look at it and go, this. And I'll ask Star later on, and she'll say, hey, you're right, but you missed this, but this, you know. But I have that picture in my head now because of Star, because of my involvement with Star.
I learned more about Irish Wolfhounds. Now, I had a great base, John Kelly, that's down in Ireland, obviously Sam Ewing and Sam McDonald. But Sam Ewing as a kid, you know, showing all those dogs, helping them out with all those dogs. Everybody did. It wasn't just me. He'd come with 80 of them and open the van and you all had to grab one. I don't even think you know our names half the time. But that was a great experience. But living with Killian and watching him turn and move and sleep and get up and eat, and those are lessons that, I guess, though, you have to have an eye to even notice that.
Right, right.
If you just had one, didn't have a background, you wouldn't pick up on it. But I know where I'd change him, and that's I would change that he lives to be 200. Because he's the perfect one that ever lived. He's the only one. He is a nice dog, but I wouldn't go that far. Anyway,
are you on TikTok or an intro?
You tried that. You wasted. Oh, here he is. Hi, buddy. He must have heard his name. Hi, pal.
I wasted what?
He just drooled on my notes. Wasted. Killian, easy, buddy. Easy. Yes, I know. It's very nice. He's not going to leave me alone now. I'm sorry. You wasted a good 15 minutes of my life because I downloaded that stupid TikTok thing and I scrolled through some. I scroll through some idiots juggling bowling balls on their ears, and I thought, no, I think I'm good. I can.
My channel, though, did you?
No, I did not. I did not.
Anyway, it has nothing to do with my channel this morning, and it has nothing to do with faith or anything. But it was the caption was, "My dog welcoming me to heaven, how I see it." And it's this long, long, it's a field. And all of a sudden you see this dog and it's running hell bent for leather towards the camera. And I don't care what your faith is, what you believe. It gave me chills. You know, that's because I don't know why it did, but just that dog, it made me think. It's a 3-minute video, but it made me think of all my dogs when I saw that. It really did. I'm not going to say I got weepy, but I got a little soft there.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
and I'm sure there are good things out there, but I don't have time to find them. I don't have time.
Leaf Talk 67. That's me.
Pardon? Oh, that's right. This is Will has a hockey TikTok, and I'm sure that a lot of people lick TikTok with Will. I think that's one.
Yeah, I embarrass some of my friends when they speak, but it's, you know, I have fun. I just like having fun.
Absolutely. Well, you know, the thing is that you've got to find your niche in the sport of kings. I've cut off my wanting to learn at no more LinkedIn. I don't need a job.
I don't even know what that is.
See that? Well, there you go. That work thing. You wouldn't want to do that. We got enough going on in the world. And then there's the TikTok. I know. I don't talk. Tweets. No, I'm not tweeting. And you got to listen to everybody's tweets. No tweets.
Yeah, I've never done that either.
Call me if you got something
now
to say.
Now Elon Musk owns the whole thing. So
no. What's that going to be like?
I don't know.
Nice to have $43 billion sitting around that you can get pissed off and buy a company.
He has enough money that he can give everyone in the world $1 billion.
It's true. I don't know how they make money. There's no ads, is there?
There must be some. There must be something. Yeah, there must be.
It's free. So who knows? Who cares? I don't care, Will. I got the New York Times. I got the Washington Post. I got the newspapers that I feel like picking through magazines. I've got all my good science magazines and social science and psychology magazines. I can read them. I can save them. I can put them in a little file. And I'm good.
George Costanza's wallet.
That's right.
That's where we're going to find all your newspaper clippings. It's in here somewhere.
I just read this.
Goes by and poof, it's gone. You're like,
been a whole study on why Chick-fil-A is successful, how their macroeconomics work, how their organization works. I'm sure everybody would be fascinated by that. I just want to care about their chicken sandwich, right? What the hell is he talking about? All right. Anyway, when Killian hits me with his head, and I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, you can't see it. This head weighs 45 pounds. It weighs more than two beagles.
He is the biggest wolf hen in captivity.
And when he hits me with it, it means I would like to go for a walk. It doesn't mean that. It means take me out or I'm going to pee right here on the rug is what it means. But he's never 9 weeks old, never done a thing in the house, never destroyed a thing.
I'm telling you, he's an amazing dog. I remember when you were having some health issues there and we were visiting you at the guest house and you told us you were getting tired. You got up and your dog led you back to the house. It was unbelievable.
Well, his intuitive nature is beyond anything I've encountered with any purebred dog in my life. But anyway, well, that went fast. Thanks for listening. And anything else you got, Will?
No, I think we've...
I do have one.
Do you?
A sad report. And people probably, a lot of people may not remember him, but boy, he sure is one of my favorites and a great guy. Dave McCurley passed away.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. He worked for John Ashby in photography. Yes.
I always enjoyed spending time with Dave.
What a great guy. He worked for Forsythe back when I did. Yeah. Dave was on the crew. He was married at one point to Erica Bandy's, the great pointer breeder. And then he came back as a photographer, the nicest guy. And he never got a great break in life that he deserved, but such a nice guy. And so sorry to hear about it. But Dave passed away. So to all his friends and family and all those who remember him, please give a little nod for Dave today and think of him for a second and hope you can be that nice of a person. That would be a good goal.
I always enjoyed seeing Dave. He always had a story. Always had a story.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and they were funny. So he was in my wedding.
Was he?
Yeah, you were busy that day. You had an Affin Pincher to show in Oregon. I think that was your excuse or something like that. Yeah. Anyway. You've always been there for me, Will. Anyway, buddy, I love you. Take care of yourself. And be kind to everyone, everybody. And I think there's a podcast somewhere that says, be nice to somebody or help somebody. I don't know. I'm just going to say good night. How's that? All right. What do you got?
Just call a mess wherever you want. Be safe, guys. And we'll see you next week.
Absolutely. Peace be with you, brothers.
Party on, Bert. I'm
born. No way.
Better be paying attention, Doc.
Give me grace. Bury my sin.
So Ernie can use this in the blooper reel.
That's right. Without you, Ernie.
Don't put that in, Ernie.
Quit taking yourself so damn seriously.
Thanks, Ernie. Don't hold back.